from Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Wednesday, February 14th. Coming up, pipelines are being proposed to carry things like hydrogen and carbon dioxide as ways to combat climate change. But proposals face stiff resistance from farmers and landowners. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Many couples struggle with communication and grow apart over time. A free online program from the University of Illinois wants to help couples strengthen their relationship using evidence-based strategies. Now, in its third year, the Strong Couples Project provides instructional videos and live coaching with researchers. Emily Stenhoff and Spencer Strunick say the program helped them approach conflict better and grow closer as a couple.
Feeling like we're much more receptive to the other person, understanding of each other, and like feeling heard by each other. So I think it just makes us closer.
We had date nights before. I don't think we treated them as sacredly as we do now. And because that's our time to really connect again.
Researchers on the Strong Couples Project say the program helps couples cultivate a deep friendship and protect against larger problems down the road. Gun rights groups are once again asking the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn Illinois' ban on assault-style weapons. Mawa Iqbal has more.
The High Court heard multiple appeals last year to temporarily halt enforcement of the ban, and they denied ruling on any of them. This time, the plaintiffs are requesting a full review of the case on its merits. Rick Pearson is with the Illinois State Rifle Association, one of the groups represented. He says millions of Americans own these guns, but only some will use them to commit crimes.
I understand that they need to be taken away, but what's happening is authorities are sitting on their hands and not doing that.
Democratic lawmakers passed the ban in the wake of the Highland Park mass shooting that left 7 people dead and dozens more injured. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
Cities and towns would get more money from the state under a proposal in Springfield. Alex Degman reports.
The Illinois Municipal League is once again demanding the state send 10% of its income tax revenue to municipalities. That was the original deal when the state income tax was created, but it was cut to 6% in 2011, and it's never been fully restored. Brad Cole is the Municipal League's chief executive officer.
The difference is about $1 billion a year. So if you look at some of the things that state funds have been spent on in recent years, that's being paid for on the backs of residents of communities.
The idea is one of several in the group's Moving Cities Forward agenda. Others include allowing more remote public meetings and letting local governments post public notices online instead of in newspapers. I'm Alex Degman.
The number 14 overall Fighting Illini men's basketball team won at home last night against the Michigan Wolverines 97-68. IPM News reporter Colin Highslope has more.
The Illini kept their hold of second place in the Big Ten Conference after the 29-point win last night. Illinois senior guard Terrence Shannon Jr. led the team with 31 points to help improve their record to 18-6 overall. Head coach Brad Underwood spoke after the game about how the team's defensive focus helped the Illini.
I've spent 2 days just trying to reconnect this team in terms of what we do on the defensive side and how we go about it, and having a little emphasis on that. And it's amazing how offense becomes easier when you don't worry about it.
Illinois will travel to play the Maryland Terrapins next on Saturday, February 17th at 4:30 p.m. I'm Colin Highslope, IPM News.
Still to come, pipelines are being proposed to carry things like hydrogen and carbon dioxide as ways to combat climate change. But proposals face stiff resistance from farmers and landowners. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
From Independent Lens, Breaking the News is a new documentary that tells the story of a scrappy group of women and LGBTQ+ journalists who buck the status quo. They focus on people who have been excluded from mainstream news coverage before they launch The 19th, which is a news startup that combats misinformation and elevates voices often left out of the American story. Breaking the News is available to stream for free with the PBS app starting February 19th. Visit your device's app store now to download the PBS app.
This is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. To meet the country's climate goals, the United States must transition away from energy and industry sectors that produce a lot of carbon dioxide. Lawmakers have supported projects to do that, including pipelines to sequester CO2 or distribute hydrogen power. Now, pipeline proposals crisscross the Midwest. But as Eric Schmidt reports, past experiences, along with a lack of clear regulation, have left farmers and landowners resistant to more projects.
On a balmy day last October, Kenny Davis walked through a recently harvested soybean field on his property in southern Illinois. He points out what looks like a railroad tie sticking out of the ground.
See that right there? That's a big chunk of wood, and I think it's going to be a mat. Yeah, that's a mat.
Davis says it's leftover debris from years earlier, when the natural gas company Spire built a new pipeline through the middle of his property. They used wooden platforms to support the heavy machinery that installed the pipeline, and he says they left parts of it in his field.
See how big a chunk that is? If that would have went through their combine, they'd have done some damage.
Davis isn't the only one with damage along the 65-mile route. Further south, Ray Sinclair says the pipeline construction altered the slope of his soybean fields, causing water to pool.
This green spot over here is a wet spot that we were not able to plant this spring. If that wet had frogs in it.
Sinclair says others have lost productivity too, with some farmers along the route saying their yields have been cut in half. The Illinois Attorney General is suing the company for the damages. Spire disputes the claims. As frustrated as Davis and Sinclair are with Spire, they say government regulators failed to hold the company accountable.
The rules and all the regulations are all there, but that's just for looks.
Rules like returning the land to the way it was. The feds have said natural gas is a stopgap for the clean energy transition, but Illinois Senator Tammy Duckworth says the damage is a wake-up call.
The Spire situation has proven how much we need to update pipeline rules from regulators. Somebody has to be watching and checking up on what these companies are doing.
And now, more pipelines are coming to carry CO2 for sequestration and hydrogen as a replacement for natural gas. Many are getting huge tax breaks from the Inflation Reduction Act. Tara Rigetti is a law professor at the University of Wyoming who focuses on carbon sequestration.
There has been a collective choice to go down this path. Pretty much all of the modeling shows that carbon removal to some extent is going to be necessary.
She says big emitters like ethanol facilities, chemical and power plants need pipelines to connect to places where captured CO2 can be stored. You can't pump the gas underground just anywhere. It takes a certain type of geology. The best places are along the Texas-Louisiana Gulf Coast, Midwest, and Great Plains, often not right next to large polluters. Rigetti says that means the current 5,000 miles of CO2 pipeline could grow tenfold.
Really long pipeline networks that sort of spider web, connecting all sorts of sources to different sinks.
She says that initially means construction in mostly rural areas, but these projects have been a hard sell. Last year, Navigator CO2 scrapped its plan for 1,300 miles of CO2 pipeline across the Midwest, and operations of Summit Carbon Solutions' 2,000-mile network have been delayed by years after North and South Dakota rejected the company's permit requests. Jared Bosley is a fourth-generation farmer and rancher in northern South Dakota who has fought the pipelines.
I mean, we're filling rooms with people, and the consensus is just no. We don't want it.
Proponents say the CO2 pipeline projects would extend the life of the ethanol industry, but Bosley says it won't directly benefit farmers, and they shouldn't have to give up their land.
You get absolutely nothing from this CO2 thing.
Rigetti, the law professor, says that's understandable, especially for a new technology.
Why should they be bearing those risks personally if they don't have any, individual benefit from it or use of it as well?
She says communities where this infrastructure passes through should benefit from it, like getting a share of the billions of dollars these projects stand to generate. In St. Louis, I'm Eric Schmidt.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be sunny with a high of 51 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Noor Longhi, Mawa Iqbal, Alex Degman, Colin Highslope, and Eric Schmidt. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.